And it's my privilege to unpack this parable of the sower, this story for us tonight. But let me begin by praying for us. So let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to come into the world. We thank you that through his teaching to his disciples and to the crowds, that we learn so much about who you are, what you do, what you have done, and what you will do. And we pray tonight that you would open our hearts and our minds to make us indeed fertile soil so that our fruit may be abundant fruit for you and your kingdom. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. People might believe that Barry Breen was the hero, but I reckon that Cowboy Neil won the game. My guess is most of you have no idea what I'm talking about. And that's all right. Some of you do. And we'll get back to this in a minute. Well, we're continuing to move through the Gospel of Mark, and the stories of Jesus gather pace. And tonight we're learning about Jesus' favourite method of teaching in so-called parables. And he teaches these to the people who are gathered around him to hear him and who have come out to see what this man's going to do next. Because it's been a wild ride so far. I mean, people are healed and he's breaking the Sabbath and he's having a riot with the temple people, the priests, and he's really causing all sorts of mischief and mayhem. And life's never boring around this guy. Jesus is an intriguing man. He rarely did what was expected of him. And yet, he constantly did what was the right thing at the right time. Now, Mark alerts us to the fact that Jesus often used parables here in verse 2 of tonight's reading. And so to us who have read through the Gospels many times, and I'm assuming that you've read the stories of Jesus more than once, hopefully, or you are reading through the Gospel of Mark at least, the parables are no surprise. The parables are just something we take for granted. The parables are nice little stories, little things that remind us of about the kingdom of God, and that's good, that's all right. But there's a real danger in our familiarity with these parables. For the disciples, I think that this was a new and unexpected development for this teacher who could do signs and wonders that no other person had ever done. This parable is full of the work of God. Most revealing, however, is the response of those who have ears to hear it. Jesus is explaining as he's out on the lake bobbing around at anchor on the boat, and the crowd is gathered around him in the cove on the beach, watching him, the voice carrying clearly across the water, and there would have been hundreds, if not thousands, of people listening to him speak while he's on the boat. Jesus explains some of the deepest truths of the world, then and now. And these include, why do some people recognize God's call, and yet others don't? Why are some people absolutely sold out to God, and they live out his will day by day, and others are so lukewarm? Why do some people come to church and enjoy worshipping him, and others reject any idea of God? This parable, it reveals the constant, ongoing work of God to call people to himself through Jesus. This parable tells us why so much of the world denies, rejects, tolerates, or wholeheartedly accepts Jesus as their Lord and their Saviour. Why some will see, but never ever perceive. Why they will hear, but they will never understand. Why they've been invited, but they will not turn and be forgiven and find abundant life in Christ. And these are words that predate Jesus by 500 years. These are words from Isaiah that Jesus uses as an idea for this parable. As Jesus says, only those who understand the secrets of the kingdom of God will understand these words. And that's why he uses stories, parables. It might not seem fair that only some will recognize the truth behind these secrets, while many will not understand nor recognize God's grace and mercy towards them as a person. But you see, this is the whole point of this parable, the way Jesus told it, and the crowd who were around him listening on the beach. So Jesus is talking to a crowd who had come to see miracles and hear deep truths about God, and instead they hear about a bloke going out and doing farming stuff. A bloke goes out to his field and throws seed around. Yippee! Raise a dead person, Jesus! Fix a hand! Heal someone! Have a fight! No, no. Bloke was going out to his paddock and scattered some seed around. Some of it landed on a path, and some of it landed on some rocky ground, and some of it fell amongst the weeds, and other stuff fell on the ground and it grew. Yeah, nice story, Jesus. Some people heard a story about a farmer doing his work, and they didn't understand what the fuss was about, and they walked away figuring that this so-called Messiah is a crock. These people were the hard-packed earth of the pathway, their hearts unwilling and not ready to recognize God's truth. Other people on that beach around the lake heard and figured there was something to this bloke on the boat, and they wanted to follow him and hear more. And then he says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. How can anyone live in that sort of uncertainty? So these people, like the rocky ground, they briefly caught a glimpse of something so much deeper than their daily life, but when the crunch came, when they were challenged to give up their life and to take up their cross and follow Jesus, there was no way they could understand living that kind of life. And yet more people heard and recognized the truth in Jesus' words. But they had so much invested in this world, they could not see a way to put them into action without compromising themselves. They and the world around them were deeply intertwined. There was no room for Jesus in their heart. The easy option was to walk away from Jesus and into the security of this world. And as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, how little security there is in this world. And then some understood, as they stood on that beach and heard the words of Jesus. They heard this story about a bloke who goes out and scatters seed on the ground. They heard, they understood, and they heard the deep truths of God. It hit home. They were fertile and fruitful, and they brought great glory to God. To these people, it was so simple. It just made sense. So here's the thing we often miss in this parable. This parable is enacted in the very telling of it by Jesus. As he tells this story, it's happening then and there in that cove around the lake while he's bobbing up and down in this boat. The disciples who asked Jesus the meaning of it, they recognized the truth in his words. And as Jesus said to them, the secrets of the kingdom of God were given to them. They listened, they believed, and the more they heard, the more they understood. But notice that the majority heard the message, and they didn't understand. To them, the message is still a secret, despite centuries of proclamation, the prevalence of the church, the mass publication of Scripture. Back to my opening statement. Barry Breen kicked a point in a game of football once, and yet he's still lauded as a hero. Many Australians don't have a clue who he is, and they couldn't care less. And if only just one of Stephen Milne's kicks had gone through the middle sticks last year, history would be so much different. Two premierships. In Mark 4, Verse 14. The key to the secret of this parable is quick unlocked. In verse 14, this parable makes sense. Jesus says to his disciples, the farmer sows the word. Suddenly, the relevance for the kingdom of God, all the meaning is unlocked for the disciples. They needed to understand the dynamics of the word of God, just as it was revealed to Isaiah. Because the word of God, as Ashley's already said, it's not a dry document. It's not words on a page. It's a living and active sword that pierces hearts. It's like rain and snow that waters the earth and leaves it fruitful and quenched. It's a continuously relevant and filled with hope. It is fulfilled in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And he pours out his word by the Holy Spirit throughout the world, day by day and place by place. To hear to us 2,000 years later across the other side of the planet from when Jesus told this story rocking on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And to those who hear it and receive it gladly, it unlocks the secrets of the kingdom of God. And more will be revealed to them as they grow in their understanding. But to the many, many people who hear the word every year at Christmas and Easter, at weddings, at funerals, at baptisms, to them the message is lost as it hits hardened hearts who don't want to know and who are hostile to the message. The devil comes and steals it away before they have a chance to even think about it. To others, the message is lost as some seek and search for meaning and truth and depth apart from God. And then they hear about Jesus and they quickly rise up as fervent believers, but just as quickly flame out as they realize the cost of following him. The message is drowned out in many others who might have grown up in the church and who heard the word, and they responded to it in faith, but then they gained their independence and they got a car and a job and a partner and all the so-called freedoms of the world. And what are they going to do? And so the word is choked out of their life and they're so intertwined with the world that they just can't see a way out of it. And the good news is that the word does not need to stop being spoken. Because so often the noise of our world can be so deafening. We just want to turn the volume down. And stop. And find something that means more. And the message doesn't stop. Many young people seek meaning and truth and depth to understand life's balance. Life is just going at full tilt, 24/7. The important thing is that the word is full of grace and truth, as John tells us. And God does not force his grace on those who don't want it. But it is always available to those who seek it. The word doesn't stop. It's been a long time since 1966, and I've never seen a St Kilda Premiership. I don't know if I'll ever see a St Kilda Premiership. I certainly hope I see a St Kilda Premiership. Friends, you heard the message of God's grace and truth once. Someone told you the word of God. Who was it to you? Who told you the word of God? Who told you the message? When was the moment that you heard the word of God and you understood it? When was the moment? Who was the person who told you that Jesus died so that you would no longer be under the penalty and the curse of death? But you are free to look forward to eternal, abundant life with God because of Easter Day, the resurrection of Jesus, that you can live a life of hope. Who told you that? And what are you going to do with that word? Because you are the fertile soil if you've taken it and received it. You are the one who will bear 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold if you receive that word into your heart and it grows in you. Isaiah tells us that this word will not return to the Lord in vain, but it will always accomplish its purpose. It will always do what God sent it out to do. So how on earth do you do this, you might ask? So you talk about Jesus. You learn more and more about him. Remember, to those who have heard, the secrets of the kingdom of God have been revealed and will continue to be revealed. You take God up in his promise to reveal more and more of himself. And you talk about it. You spread the seed, the word. The thing about spreading seed like the farmer does in the parable, most of it will miss the good soil. Most of the conversations you have with other people will fall on hard earth, rocky earth, or earth choked with weeds. That's the brutal truth of it. But the one that hits the good soil explodes in fruitfulness. You will have hundreds of conversations, and only a few may bear fruit. As one writer says, the preacher, the evangelist, and the witness must remember this too. He or she plays a part, but it's only a part. To play that part is to risk oneself every time you have that conversation with the possibility of frustration and failure or fulfillment and success. Paul's comment is again helpful. Your faith then does not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power in 1 Corinthians 2. All our Christian work should be periodically measured by that test. This parable is a direct call to you this evening, not this morning as it says in my notes, to open your ears to hear the word of God and to be one who goes on spreading the seed. Coming to church is only the very beginning for those who have heard and believed and who understand the secret to the kingdom of God, or even for those who have heard and not yet understood, but who still recognize there is truth in Jesus Christ. This is why we're studying the Gospel of Mark. Because we want to know more and more about who we are and who Jesus is. And to be able to talk about him more and more. To have these conversations more and more. To spread the seed more and more. The Gospel of Mark is all about Jesus. And that is why we are studying it through the second half of this year in this parish. It's because we take this parable seriously. And we understand that the secrets of the kingdom of God have been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. The secret is that Jesus died on that cross for you and for me, for our children and for our friends. And when we understand this, we learn more and more of his steadfast, loving kindness, his grace and mercy towards us. How can we not want to share these things with others when we have received so rich an inheritance? As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6, and even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'd so love to see another St Kilda Premiership. 2010 hurt like hell for a Saint supporter like me. There will always be 1966, I suppose. But to anyone who doesn't like sport or AFL, what I'm saying doesn't mean a thing. It's gibberish. It's meaningless. It bounces straight off you, doesn't it? It's pointless. They have no idea about Barry Breen or Cowboy Neil. They couldn't care less about the 1966 Grand Final. It means nothing. But to a long-suffering Saints supporter, the secret is a history packed with tradition. For the Christian, the secret is true life. Life to the fullest. not just emotions, but so much deeper than them, and not dependent on how we feel. The secret is who Jesus is and what he has done. Not much of a secret, is it? Really? Not when we work so hard to tell a world that is all too often stone-hearted, too whimsical, or too busy to hear the secret that would transform their lives. But we keep sharing this secret because one day we will tell someone and their faith will bring hundreds and thousands into relationship with the Lord. That's the message of the sower, still as fresh and relevant today as the day Jesus stood in the boat and started talking to the crowd on the beach. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much that you reveal your secrets to us. Lord, we ask desperately that you would open hearts and minds of those around us to hear, to understand, to see and to perceive, to know. Lord, our hearts break when we think of those who have heard your message time and again, and their hearts have just rejected it. Strengthen us, Lord, and give us courage to have those conversations, to sow the seed, to not be disheartened, but to find our heart in you, and not to lose strength, but to find our strength in you. Lord, let your word continue to find fertile soil, and to grow, and to bear fruit 30-fold, and 60-fold, and 100-fold. And Father, we do this work, and we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.